Do you ever catch yourself grumbling when life gets tough? The Israelites did, again and again. As God led them from Egypt, they questioned His care at every turn. Yet, God responded with grace, providing water, manna, and everything they needed. Discover how God's provision reveals His character, and how gratitude can replace grumbling in your life. If you've ever faced trials and wondered, is the Lord among us or not? Today's lesson will help.
I remember learning a little song when I was a child, and the lyrics went like this. Oh, they grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, grumble on Thursday too. Grumble on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, grumble the whole week through. Our mother made us memorize that, and you can imagine why. Well, the title of the song was Grumblers. And it occurred to me that this has become the national anthem of the Israelite nation. Here in Exodus chapter 15, it sort of sets the tone for the entire passage. In fact, we read here in verse 22, "Then Moses made Israel set out from the Red Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur. They went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." Now, beloved, let's not be too hard on them here. Imagine striking out through the wilderness with some 2 million other people. The first day, you feel the heat, the sun, you feel the sand, the wind is whipping at your body, and the little water that you have is getting warm. It's starting to run out. The second day, you get a little anxious for a supply of fresh water. On the third day, you hear the good news that there's water just up ahead. But then verse 23 says this, "They could not drink the water of Marah because it was bitter." So the Israelites arrive at what we would call a little lake of water, but they soon discover that the water is contaminated. It's stagnant. It's bitter water. So now what do you do? Well, verse 24 tells us, "The people grumbled against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?'" Now, you're going to find the word grumble 9 times in the passage we're studying today. They began grumbling on Monday, Tuesday, and the whole week through. Well, Moses responds here in verse 25 by crying out to the Lord, and we read here, "The Lord showed him a log, and he threw it into the water, and the water became sweet." Now, what's God teaching the Israelites here? He's teaching them to trust in Him. Throwing the log into the water isn't going to purify it at all. That ain't going to help anything. But when Moses obeys the Lord and throws that log in the water, the Lord then operates miraculously, making the water sweet or fresh. By the way, the only solution that you have to your grumbling and mine too, is realizing that God is in control and capable of providing what we truly need. Verse 27 offers even more proof of that. We read here, "Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 date palm trees, and they encamped there by the water." Wow, they reach an oasis here following a very difficult time. Now think about it. God took the Israelites to the bitter water where their faith was tested. They grumbled. Frankly, they failed the test. And then He gave them water when Moses obeyed His instruction. And now here the Lord leads them to an oasis, and they happen to have more than they need. That, my friend, is the grace of God, who lavishes, Paul writes in Ephesians 1, verses 7 to 8, who lavishes His grace upon us, even when we fail. Now, we come to another stopover in Exodus at chapter 16. Here, it's been about a month since the Lord delivered them from Egypt. And we read here in verse 2, "The whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." And you're thinking, well, here they go again. Now what's the problem? Well, they've run out of food. Someone calculated in recent days that it would take 4,000 tons of food every day to feed 2 million Israelites. Now, if you boxed all that food onto a train, the train would stretch 2 miles. And that's what they would need for one day. Well, the Lord hears their grumbling, and again, he responds with incredible grace. He says to Moses here in verse 12, "Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. In the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. And when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness a fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground." Well, God in his grace sends over a huge flock of quail, and then he sends down a special kind of bread called manna. Now, the critics of the Bible are going to say that these quail just so happened to be migrating from Africa, and they became exhausted and were unable, you know, to fly more than 3 feet above the ground. They also claim that the manna was the excretion of little insects. Listen, there's no way Moses is going to talk 2 million people into eating bug droppings. Frankly, that would have been a miracle to me. Well, let me tell you something. The critics have no explanation for the next verse or so, verse 35, which reads this: "The people of Israel ate the manna 40 years till they came to the border of the land of Canaan." Now, those bugs didn't travel around with them. God miraculously provided literally train car loads of manna every morning for 40 years. Now, I want you to go over to chapter 17 of Exodus, where we see the people grumbling again. This is the third time, and they're out of water again. We read here in verse 2, "The people quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' And Moses said to them, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?'" Well, now the Lord is obviously listening in, and he says to Moses here in verse 5, "Pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Beloved, God is bringing these people to the question of the ages. And here verse 7 just sort of spells it out for us. Here it is: "Is the Lord among us or not?" That's the bottom line in life, isn't it? Isn't it the question, is God really alive? Is God really powerful? Is he really involved in your life, or is he running around somewhere in the universe? You see, how you answer that question will determine whether you grumble or you become grateful as you trust in the sovereign timing and provision and power of God. What are some ways to stop grumbling and to start becoming grateful? How do you develop that kind of attitude? These were no small issues. They're out of food. They're out of water. Well, let me give you 2 key action steps. The first action step is to remember. The word remember occurs more than 200 times in the Bible. Remember. You're going to cultivate a grateful spirit when you remember what God has done for you, big and small. Grumblers have very short memories. They can't seem to remember anything good. Grumblers sort of dwell on what they don't have, and they seem to forget what they do have. Remember. The second action step is practice. Over in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we're commanded to practice being thankful. It's continual. It's not something you do at Thanksgiving, and then you're done as soon as the dishes are cleared away. Listen, like anything in life worth doing well, being thankful is going to take practice. How about starting today by thanking God for the gospel, for your own salvation that was given to you as a gift when you believed in God's Son as your Savior? You happened to be saved and forgiven and heading for heaven. So start there. Practice thanking God for that. Say it out loud when the devil says it ain't so. I mean, when the lights are turned off and the refrigerator is empty, say, I am part of God's family through faith in Jesus Christ. God says I am. And because of that, I'll trust him and be thankful for what he has given to me. Listen, let's change our tune. Instead of grumbling, how about we sing giving thanks on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, giving thanks on Thursday too, giving thanks on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, giving thanks the whole week through. Well, until our next wisdom journey, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Even in trials, God is faithful, providing grace and reasons to be thankful. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called Grumbling at God. If you haven't already signed up for Friends of Wisdom, I'd like to invite you to do so today. Each week, you'll receive an email from Stephen with biblical encouragement, answers to pressing Bible questions, and helpful insights on living wisely. Many of the questions Stephen answers are ones you might be asking yourself, making his responses even more personal and relevant. Plus, each month, you'll receive a free resource designed to deepen your understanding of Scripture. It's our way of helping you continue to grow in your faith journey. Signing up for Friends of Wisdom is free and easy. Simply visit wisdomonline.org/friends. Fill out a short form and you'll be all set. As soon as you sign up, we'll send you 2 digital resources as a thank you gift: Blessed Assurance and The Coming Tribulation. These resources will help you gain a better understanding of salvation and end time events. Don't miss out on this opportunity. Sign up today at wisdomonline.org/friends. Thanks for joining us today. I hope this time in God's Word was a blessing to you. Join us again next time on this Wisdom Journey.